Talking to dead people, connecting with our relatives for the purpose of healing our own lives, it is all possible. My guest today is Deb Levine from Soul Wisdom. She joins me on Coffee with Source for an incredibly special episode, digging deep into what it feels like to read people's energies, to communicate with spirits that have crossed over. And all this with the intention of helping us here on Earth, in our physical bodies, in this 3D reality, to feel a little bit less alone. Welcome to Coffee with Source. Deb Levine is joining me today. She is psychic, not psycho, intuitive medium.
I'm so glad you said that.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't help myself. And I am so glad and grateful that you are here with me today. We have been supposed to record the session for a few weeks, but divine timing.
It's everything.
Thank you for being here. For our listeners, who are you?
Who am I? Oh, that's such a deep question.
That's a loaded question. Huh?
Well, I'm your run of the mill 47-year-old, single mom of two kids that happens to be a medium and intuitive. That's who I am.
What does that mean?
Oh, it means a lot of good things. I connect with people both in the living and in the non-living, those that have left their physical bodies. But to me, the soul is still living. So they may not be here in the physical body, but they are still here with us all the time. And what I do is I work with people really to, I like to say, I help facilitate showing them the path back home to themselves, which is a path I had to take myself. I know that sounds very sort of out there, but, and in doing so, I'm reading their energy. That's where the intuitive work comes in. So you're here in the physical. I can, if you allow me to, and it has to be with permission, you open yourself up and I am able to tap in and to read your energy, meaning talking about what's going on currently in your life. I may need to go back as far as childhood. And then the mediumship aspect is, communicating with your loved ones that have passed. Now, I don't choose which loved ones I'm going to communicate with. I don't have that kind of power. That would be really neat, but it doesn't work that way.
If I call you up, or one of our listeners calls you up and they say, I absolutely want to speak to my grandfather. I am so fucking pissed off. I'm not in his will. I demand to have a word.
Yeah. Well, they can absolutely set that intention. I encourage people to set an intention in their mind, or they can, you know, say it out loud or put it down on paper, but none of us have control over that, over who's going to be the spirit that comes through to communicate. The spirit world knows what you need as my client for your, as we say, for your best and highest good, meaning how can that loved one share a message that's going to help you right now on your path forward? That's why they come through. Now, do they come through sometimes just to say, hey, I love you, and I just want you to know I'm here for you? Yes, but they cannot come through until they validated themselves with what we call evidence. That's why we are known as evidential mediums. I can't just say to you, oh, Emma, I've got your grandmother here and she really loves you. And you'd be like, oh, that's great. Now, if you had a horrible relationship with your grandmother and you were like, my grandmother doesn't love me, she thinks I'm a piece of shit, she wouldn't have said that. Then I've caught myself in my little lie, but it can't be general information. There have to be memories that are shared. There have to be evidence of who she was, how she lived, evidence of the connection.
Yeah. Tell us, sorry to interrupt you, but this is so fascinating. Yeah. Tell us, how do you know it's a female energy, or it's a grandma, or it's, do you sense a more feminine energy, or do you actually see an old lady, or do you smell, or is it all of it?
That is such a great, great question. I actually think no one has asked, like in podcast interviews, you're probably the first to ask that. It's kind of a manyfold answer, I guess, because what was the first thing you said was,
you sense the feminine energy.
Okay. It's a knowing. So we have different clairs. The most obvious, the most commonly known one is a clairvoyant, right? What does that mean? If someone's clairvoyant, clair just means clear. Voyant means seeing. So clear seeing.
You see there it on the screen in your mind.
Well, no, what I was, well, yes and no, sometimes. But when you say, well, do I just know, do I sense the energy? Often there's just a feeling. There is just this, it's called clairsentience, which is clear feeling. It's just, there is this feeling I have that I've got a grandfather with me, or there's a feeling I have that there is a woman, but I haven't felt into the energy enough yet to decipher who it is. Is it a grandmother? Is it a sister? I don't spend a lot of time on that, on who. I go into right away talking about the personality. Usually when I start, I say sort of embodying who they are, discussing, like feeling their energy, talking about personality, sharing things. It's almost like it becomes known to me. And then obviously it doesn't need to be known to me. My client has to know who they are. But sometimes I will use my clairvoyance. I will see the grandmother in at a time when she wishes to be seen as. So oftentimes our loved ones will show their clients, or our loved ones will show, come to us as we have our strongest memories about them. So meaning if your grandmother passed when she was 74, but she's showing me who she was when she was 32. Did she pass when she was 74?
Yeah, 100%.
This always happens with us, Emma. I'm not trying to always reading happens.
Now. A little context. Deb was on the podcast, Flip the Script, and started giving examples towards the end of the show. And she was like, hypothetically speaking, if your grandmother and mother were here, and everything she kept saying was right on point. So yeah,
I don't do it on purpose. I don't. Okay.
That's so remarkable.
But so you're not going to, your grandmother, even though she may have loved how her hair was and the style she had at 32, she's going to show herself to you at 74, because those are the memories that you have of her.
Yeah. I wasn't alive when she was 32. So I wouldn't.
Exactly. Now let's say you had never met your grandmother, but you'd heard tons of stories from your mom and you'd seen so many pictures, and your mom loved telling this story about your grandmother in this fur stole and this, and these like knee-high go-go boots, which would have not been her time period, but just roll with this. So, and you have this vision because it was the picture that's on the mantle of grandma in the go-go boots with the fur stole. So what do you think grandma is going to come to? I'm going to say, I feel like I need to talk about a woman. She feels like motherly, grandmotherly, but she would be real sassy. She'd have this fur stole, and I see white go-go boots. Now, I don't ever speak about clothing because clothing changes. Why would I speak? Like, I might say, this man is wearing a blue button-down shirt and brown work pants. Well, unless this man wore a blue button-down shirt and brown work pants every day of his life that you knew him, there is no reason for me to speak about the clothing that a loved one is wearing. However, if your memory of that loved one is from this photograph in the go-go boots and the fur stole, then that's how they're going to present themselves. Does that make sense?
100%.
So yes. So it, all those
you
ways.
Odors. Cause I know when when
yes, that's clairaliens. Yeah.
Yes. Did you have a very strong odor? I'm sensing something. What do you smell? If someone was a smoker, do you smell that?
So this is a really hard one to actually put into words, but I'm going to do my best. You're giving me a good challenge. There are times when I will smell my grandmother, who I'm super close with, who died 4 years ago. I will smell her perfume in my car. Now, clearly my grandmother has been gone for 4 years. It's not her perfume, but I smell her perfume, right? There was a reading where I knew that this gentleman, he called himself a grill master. I smelled barbecue. Like, you know, when you can smell that distinctive, like coals on a barbecue. Was there really barbecue around me? No, but what the spirit world is using my senses. So it's almost like, this is how I'm going to, it's just coming out how I need to describe it. It's like a memory that you would see, but like smell-a-vision. It's like the smell is the memory now.
Like when you see a commercial on TV of pizza and you can start to taste and smell pizza in your house.
Yeah. Like if you tell me right now, like I'm a baker, we share that in common too. And I make these redonkulous like chocolate chunk cookies with homemade sea salt with a homemade salted caramel with sea salt on top. And I can smell them baking right now. Now they're not baking anywhere around me, but I can smell that. So because I'm thinking, I'm giving myself my own memory of the last time I baked those cookies. Well, the spirit world can share those memories with me, and they often do. Now I have seen just a woman sitting like this, chain smoking, and all of a sudden I want to go like this. I'm not a smoker, never have been, and I went like this, and I just want to. I feel like she must have played cards or blackjack. Yeah, she was a chain smoking blackjack player. That's what this granny was. True story. This was a client's grandmother. Awesome. But there are times when So with that, I knew that sometimes it's not that I can smell it, but what I have a knowing. Now this is a clair cognizance. That's clear knowing. I just have a knowing that her, she had a very distinct smell. And as soon as I say that, that conjures up for you a very distinct memory. So your grandmother is really doing her best to let it, your loved ones are, it's almost like a big nerve ending. They're trying to hit all those nerves, ouch, 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 that not in painful, but that you, that will spark that memory for you, whether it's a smell, whether it's, I've made like a goofy face before, and this happened yesterday too. A client cracked up and like, I want to do this like weird face. I don't know what they know what the weird face was. And they start laughing because that was something that they had with this loved one. So they're going to use all of my senses so that we can get your sort of sense, your sensory memory activated. That way you can, does that make sense?
100%. Okay. I see it in my mind. Now I'm in tune to a certain level, nowhere near what you're doing, but I have come to realize that connecting with our loved ones that have crossed or tapping into our intuition can benefit us in multiple aspects of our lives. So
sure.
Anyone who's listening, who's thinking, well, you know, you go see a medium just to connect with your deceased loved ones.
No.
That's if you need closure, you know, maybe someone in your family died unexpectedly and you had a really tumultuous relationship with them, or you never felt love from your father or your mother or grandparent. That's a great way to give us closure here in the physical world, because they now see things from a different perspective.
For sure.
But it's also something we can tap into for guidance in our relationships, in our career, in our businesses, right?
In everything.
Because they have a broader perspective.
You're talking about the spirit world. Do they have a broader? World.
Yeah.
Well, it's not, I don't want to say that they have a broader perspective, because what people need to realize is our loved ones have not become omniscient when they pass, when their soul goes to the other side, wherever the other side may be. The veil is, and it's all right here. I don't look at it as like they're up there and we're here. And then
I think they're all right here.
They are. They're all around us.
Even when you're in the shower, folks, I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, actually, I disagree. They know that we have to have boundaries, so they don't come in my shower. But wait, what did you just say that was really important? I already forgot where we were going with this.
Just the different aspects. Like, you can see a medium more than once to connect with your grandfather or your father or your mother. You can connect with a medium often to do a check-in. But what is their perspective? Is it their personal opinion?
Thank you. So what I was about to say was, they're not omniscient. If you say, gosh, I'm in this I always let my clients ask questions towards the end. I have a question about, this relationship that I'm in. I'm not sure, if I should marry him, if he's a good guy. And let me tell you something, your grandmother, whatever spirit you're talking to, that has come through to communicate that you're looking for guidance from, they don't have the answers. They have their opinions just like they did in the living. And you know what they say about opinions? They're like, everyone has them.
Yeah.
They're like,
but is their opinion based? Because when you cross, it's unconditional, pure love.
Yes.
Right? You can't feel hate.
Right.
You can't feel sadness. Mm-hmm. So is that opinion based in unconditional, pure love, or is there still some physical bias in there?
It's not physical bias, but we are still who we are. Yes, we can grow. We can evolve. Yes, there's no illness once we pass. Like, we are, this is again from my perspective, from the work I do working with those that are deceased, and someone had cancer and lost use of their legs and couldn't speak. I have had clients I just had someone whose loved one passed of dementia and lost all ability to speak over the past year. They're able to speak again. They're able to use their legs again. A lot of spirits will say, I'm dancing and I'm playing golf again, because they were immobile. So while that is true, they still are who they are. If I'm a little crusty sometimes, or I like to, swear like a sailor, I'm not going to, when I pass, I'm not going to say, oh, hello, child. And I'm not going to talk like I'm some angelic nun. Okay. So I'm still going to be me. So these loved ones, if your grandfather cursed like a sailor, I've had readings where I'm like, I'm sorry. I said, please, I'm not, because I, I'm professional, but I need to drop some F-bombs here. And they start laughing like, oh yeah, that was my grandfather, because we still are who we are. But in light of what you were saying, when a client comes to me, yes, I'm a medium. So yes, that means I am connecting with people that have passed. However, mediumship encompasses more than just spirit communication. Mediumship also encompasses this intuitive work. So the whole purpose of a mediumship session, whether it's involving spirit communication or whether I'm just simply connecting to your energy and talking about your energy and how and the path you're on right now. The purpose of a mediumship session is to empower you. It is to help facilitate your healing journey in some way. Or maybe you've been on your healing journey, but you're a little stuck and you need a little extra support or validation. We can receive that extra support from a loved one that's passed, but maybe a loved one's not coming through. I may be guided to say, a lot of times people are like, oh my God, I needed to hear that. I didn't know they needed to hear that. I've never met them.
Who's guiding you, Deb, if it's not the client's loved one?
That's a very good question. I've never met them, but I like to say it's a lot bigger than me. Okay. Cause this is not, I'm not a therapist. I'm not a grief counselor. I'm not giving people advice. It's very important that people that listen, whether they come see me or whether they come see anybody else, I have a lot of clients that come to me that, like a lot of people that see a therapist, whether it's occasionally or they're really working on something, that should not stop when or if you see a medium. A medium is a wonderful supplemental healing
tool. You're a channel.
Yes.
So I can, but do you think that it's your higher self, or can you tap into the client's higher self? Are you working with source? Are you working with spirit guides? I call them my spirit entourage.
I love that. I have people call their soul team. You know what? I call it my guides. And I have to tell you, I this always used to frustrate me and my lovely mentor, John Johnson from Scotland, tutorjohnjohnson.com, to throw that out there. No, he's amazing. My mentor will say,
let's get him on the show.
No, okay, we will. Hi, John.
We're going to send him this episode.
I'm going to. He will say that you don't have to, like, there are people like, well, I have my spirit team and it's Archangel Michael and it's Mother Mary. And I'm not poking fun at this, because there are people that really have these angelic ascended masters on their team. I don't know who the heck's on my spirit team. I know that I've got guides, meaning I know I've got people looking out for me. I always used to say, and I still do, since I was 9, when I lost my grandfather, I used to feel like he was my guardian angel. I didn't even know what that meant when I said it. Now I do know. My grandfather has always looked out for me, and things have come up where I know it's my grandfather, decisions I made or choices that I opted not to make with his guidance. I feel that I've got a couple peeps up there, whether it's my deceased loved ones. I know my grandmother is not one of my guides, but I think that I have others that I don't know. I'm at peace with not knowing. I don't need their names. I don't need to know what century they're from. I don't need to know if they're like higher beings. I just know that I have support from the spirit world.
That's amazing. I was frustrated for so long trying to
know
their names.
Yes. And,
you know, all I know is that there's one in particular who's just stupidly handsome.
Ooh, just gorgeous. I need one of those.
I keep thinking it's a figment of my imagination. I always laugh, but whenever I meditate, I'm like, you have to be that sexy. Like, it's just stupid that I must be absolutely crazy.
I know, I'm doing like, something wrong. I think that
I just want to know your name. And there are other ones who are more traditional looking and stuff, but this one, like the one that's always there. And I'm like, I need to know your name. I just can't. Like, what am I supposed to say? Like, hey, sexy, I need some guidance.
Why like, not? He might answer. But he's like, hey, I'm sorry, I'm distracted by the six pack. What's your name again?
She's like, no, it's very professional. I'm sorry, dude, but he's very professional. He wears a lovely, beautiful robe, but just very
covered up.
He's very, very handsome. And
that's
just
okay.
I to the point where I blush sometimes. I'm like, I'm having a crisis. I don't want to be talking to you about my sex life. And I just hear love, love, I love, love, unconditional love. And I'm like, you love that I'm talking about my sex life with you, handsome devil. And so when I cross, I'm curious to be like, it's probably going to be my higher self just in a mask. Like, girl.
No. I hope it doesn't get ruined for you in that respect. But look, you see yours, you have that experience. I think it's important though for listeners to understand, because we both said that we wanted to know ours. And I'd be frustrated, because I will tell you there are classes, and now I will never pay money for this again. Like I'm not making fun of this. Like, know who your team is, meet your team. And here's this meditation. Right. But there's these like meditations so you can figure out the name. Guess what? What I realize, again, this is only for me and I'm not poking fun, even if it seems like I am. It doesn't matter for me what their names are, or, you know, I don't need to see their resume, quite frankly. If they're guiding me and helping me out at this point in life, I'm just grateful for any extra help that I can get. True. I don't need to know their name, but the most
and there's a lot thing, of bullshit out there. We have to be careful because when I started on this, you know, conscious awakening journey, there was so much misinformation. You know, someone was like, you have 7 guides and you can ask them their names and they will tell you. And the other one was like, you have 14. And one of them was like, you have this and you have that. And you have to feel it for yourself.
You just said something that I was literally going to say was that the reason it doesn't matter that I can see them or that I have names for them. The most important thing is that I can feel and sense that I have that love and support and guidance and that I'm aware of it. That's what matters to me. And again, I don't want to make light of that. If you have listeners that are like, that's not, you know, why is she saying that? It's really important to me that I know who my team is. Then by all means, meditate on it, sit with it. It's
personal to you.
It is very personal. So again, like it's the full moon lunar eclipse. You know how that is. I'm a little bit sassy.
We're all a little on edge. But I remember one of the first things that, you know, that I saw, because all of this was very new to me and I was doing an Access Consciousness bar session and I saw a white horse. And I kept seeing this white horse as a spirit animal. And that's the first thing that I saw ever in my mind's eye. Mm-hmm. And I kept trying to figure out her name. And the only word that kept coming out was, she's a beauty. She's a beauty. And I was like, I'm going to call her Beauty. So I've assigned her that name.
That's great.
That's what it is, you know? So, and I think that's okay. And they say that when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Maybe there's a reason that we're not meant to know who right now, because maybe it's beyond the realm of our feeling deserving of it. Mm-hmm. You know, because one of your guides could be Jesus, could be Buddha. And we're just like, we're not at that level yet that we haven't evolved to a point to believe that we could be guided. That's just my thing. So I'm just I'm like, you're a sexy guy and you're beauty and that's good. And it's fine.
So long as you connect with it, that's all that matters. And if it serves the purpose for you, and that's why I've always said spirituality is a very, very personal thing. It's not a one size fits all. And it's not like, let's take a course to do this because everyone is going to do this and everyone's going to do it this way. There is just no one size fits all. And I hate actually hearing that because I feel like what it does is it turns people away because they feel like, oh, well, I don't have guides. I don't know the name of my guides. So I guess I'm not really in tune. Don't worry about that sort of thing. Being in tune doesn't mean you have to know your guides. Being in tune means that you're really able to go within and trust what you hear from yourself.
Yeah.
You're not going to trust any of your guides if you can't trust your own soul first. That's the journey.
I was spooked out by it at first.
Well, and fear will hinder anything. I will tell you 100%. That. I mean, you know that yourself. So yeah.
And anyone, do you believe, I guess I should ask you this question. Do you believe that anyone is able to tap into the source collective energy and sort of, you know, that we all have this inner guidance system, this intuition that we're directed from? Our higher selves, and we do get little nuggets of wisdom from source. Yes.
I believe every one of us can do that.
Because I just shared a story of me talking to myself. And for a long time, I questioned whether or not I was going batshit crazy, which, you know, I'm still a little bit batshit crazy. But what is the voice that is coming from source or higher self versus the voice of ego? Like those battles we have with ourselves, like, I really need to feel the car. I shouldn't buy that car. That car is too expensive. But versus buy the car, everything will be okay. And then you're going like, well, no, that's my ego wanting me to spoil myself. How do you decipher between that guidance?
I actually personally, I feel it differently. Like I feel it like in my bones in a cellular way. When it's my ego, it comes from more, it's like in the chest, it's like a little bit more panicky. It's a little bit more, there's some anxiousness around it. So it's almost like physically or physiologically, I will be in step with the ego. When it's higher self or when it's guided, it's just very calm. There's no fanfare around it. There's no like, oh my gosh, there's no like, I'm freaking out. It just is, which I know sounds really like, well, that's not even an answer, but it's because it is more of a feeling. There's just this sureness to it. This steadfastness. When I'm operating from ego, nothing is steadfast. It's like, it's like a pinball machine and things are all over the place when I'm operating
feel because you know now, you're aware of, you know, we talk a lot about this moon energy, but when we're being crazy, do you feel like you're out of balance? Can you feel it physically that you're out of alignment?
Oh my goodness. Yes. And now, like,
you're detached from your body and you're watching yourself react going, who the fuck is this?
I'm going like, oh my God, there's a train wreck waiting to happen. Yeah.
And maybe actually, a lot of apologies later.
But that's the best way to be, because what that means for me is that always tells me how much I've grown when I am able to step outside of myself and be sort of witness to what's happening and not judgy witness, but witness going, oh, okay, well, this makes sense then, because this and this happened. And so I'm not going to then, when you're in it, when you're fully in it, when you're not outside of it, your emotions, your thoughts, your feelings, it's like all this one big ball of stuckness together. When you are operating from a place of noticing as the observer, you're not, you're able to make decisions. You're able to sit with yourself in a more quiet way because you realize that's just that moment. That's just that thing that happened. That's not me in every moment. It's what I did. It was my reaction. I was triggered from X, Y, or Z. But it's very hard to notice any of that. Like when I used to call it like I was in my spiral. Yeah. Like I would be ruminating about things and worried about things. Like it was, I mean, it must've been so exhausting. All my friends and family that went through all of this with me, here's my like sincerest apology. It's exhausting knowing me. I mean, it still probably is a little bit because I don't shut up for a second, but I think that's also can be a redeeming quality. But at that time to watch someone ruminate and like spin in on themselves and not like picture, like this comes to me as a lot of things do sort of visually, like a cyclone or like the eye of a tornado.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be hard? Not that anyone wanted to like jump into that eye of the tornado. Like you see pictures of storms or watch them on videos like that. You just have to watch and be like, oh my God, that thing is going to either self-destruct or destroy everything in its path. So it must've been so hard because there was no breaking in to that. When I was so in it, you could say all kind of nice things and I would, nope, give me that mallet. I need to beat myself up for 3 more hours.
I think Lao Tzu calls it being drunk on your thoughts. Where you just,
that's the perfect way of saying it.
And drunk on your thoughts. You're just like inebriated by the fear and the.
Not a good drunk, not like a happy,
not,
like,
not
like
a happy drunk,
like a mess of a drunk that, yeah.
Yeah, no. So tell me if, you know, once you've seen a medium and you've connected with your loved ones, you've healed, you've received the messages, how can you, or maybe give us an example of how being so connected helps you in your daily life. How is being so tuned in, tapped in, turned on, enhanced your life and made it better?
That's a really, really good question because it truly has been the difference between me having peace and me being in that cyclone, tornado, eye of the storm. Say this again, because you're saying how did trusting myself or
How does being really standing in the truth of your gifts and abilities,
Deb
has said it here that we all have these.
Yeah.
But you know, that you're really owning it. You told me quite literally that you came out of the closet because you were doing readings in your closet for being called out or found out. So you really stepping in your truth. How has that changed your life? How does it benefit you to be connected?
The trust I have now for every decision that I make, the biggest thing I have to say is I always needed to know what was going to happen. I'm a little bit of a recovering control freak. I think we've talked about this. Why? No, it needs to happen this way. Well, what's going to happen in 4 years? And if I do this, it was all the what ifs. What if this happens, but then this is going to happen? And it's like, woo, slow down, sister. This is all projections. My connection to divine source, myself, whatever you want to call it, because we are all from, I don't know how, I'm not religious, whatever. But if you want to look at it as source, divine, God, whatever you see that as, my connection now has allowed me to stay in the moment and be so much more present than I ever was. And I literally was missing my entire life.
Oh, so true.
Because worry. I mean, I lived worry was like, I probably say that with a funny accent, W-O-R-R-Y. to worry about all the things that hadn't happened yet, but they might happen. And what if they happen? I needed to have a plan if they happen.
Yeah. And you're jumping from the past to the future, the past to the future.
Oh, never in the present. You're absolutely, you said that beautifully, past to the future and back and forth again. And then I'd stay in the future and go, oh no, oh no. And it was like, I was constantly throwing my hands up for a life preserver. I don't need a life preserver anymore. I mean, I've got it. It's almost like I've got one of those built in the things on the airplane. Like if something happens, I always have a little flotation device strapped to my bum, basically. Emergency cord. But the cord now is from me. And that's the difference is what, because of my connection, I am my own flotation device. Whereas before, when I wasn't connected, it was everything else was going to save me. Everyone, everything, the food, the people, the friends, my family, the trust was all out there because this, I didn't trust the cyclone, tornado, whatever it is. It was too much of a, it was too chaotic. That's what I want to say. There was so much chaos in the worry, in the projection that, look, I have a lot I could be worried about right now in my personal life. I have a lot that I could project. I could go to fear very easily because my life is uncertain, as most of ours. I mean, tell me one, and I will tell you, those people that think that their life is certain, I'm not saying that it's not going to be, that your life isn't going to be amazing, but life is such that things are going to pop up and we don't know how things are going to
be. The expression shit happens exists for a reason.
I mean,
no matter how prepared you think you are. And I love that you said that because that has been one of my greatest lessons, and an affirmation that I still repeat every day, every morning and every night is, you know, I surrender the need to control the outcome, and I surrender my worry, my uncertainty to, you know, to the universe. And I trust that everything always works out perfectly for me.
Yes. Because it doesn't, what I learned, and it sounds very obvious, even when I say it, I hear it, I'm like, well, why didn't I get it back then? The worrying, the projecting, it's not going to have any effect on what actually will happen. However, it may, in that when I project fear, when I put out there in the world, and I don't want to, I'm not going to get into a whole thing on manifestation, but I am led by fear. Therefore, if I'm following a leader, right, down a path, I don't even know where I'm going. And this guy is, I know, I fear this guy. The guy is based on fear. The path is probably going to lead me to fear, right? But if I'm following Mr. Joy, let's say Ms. Okay. We're going to say Ms. Joy. Excuse me. I'm changing all that up. I'm following, you know, Ms. Fear and Ms. Joy. Wouldn't I rather be on the path of joy? And look, is it a guarantee where fear or joy is going to end up? Not really. But if I have a choice, why was I choosing to stand behind fear and worry when the path is going to be ultimately, I'm going to end up, like you said, ultimately where I need to be? And projecting doesn't change the outcome. It just changes me. It changes not only that, it makes the journey uncomfortable and difficult. Look, the journey's already difficult enough. Like, why did I want to make it that much harder? So
on the connection here, you're going to worry about the wind. You're going to worry about, if your jacket warm enough, you're going to worry about, is it going to start to rain, the puddles? You're going to look at the birds and the trees and think they want to poke your eyeballs out.
Yeah.
You're going to be terrified of what's around the corner. You're on the path of joy. You're soaking in the sun.
You're taking in your surroundings, right?
Like majestic creatures. Yes. You're looking at the birds. You're hearing the sound. That's just a different observation. That's a choice.
But what's so great is the way you say it like that. And again, it comes to me as a visual. When you're so busy worrying about the wind and the rain, and if the sun's going to be in your eyes, and if it's too dry or too wet, when you're so full of all that worry, you don't have enough space to notice the birds and the sun. And if we're talking with that analogy, so
you're just trying to get to where you're going, and
that's it.
Everything is
the hyper focus.
Yeah. Everything's been thrown at you. And why is this happening to me? And why is this tree down? And why was there a storm? And why didn't the city come clean that up? And whereas you're on the path of joy, you still have the destination, but you're allowing room for possibilities beyond your wildest dream to show up.
And that's the most important thing, Emma, is that we are open to possibility. When you've already sort of, when I hear people say, oh, well, I'm never going to get that job. I'm never going to, or that's not going to work out for me. And I get it. Look, I lived that phrase for the better part of my life.
You've been there.
But the reason I said it is because I didn't believe I deserved it. I didn't believe it could happen. I didn't trust that good things could happen because I didn't trust that I was worthy of that. And that's really the fact of the truth. Also, it's one of those, if I say it won't happen, then I won't be so disappointed when it actually doesn't. But the bottom line was, I was assuming it wasn't going to happen because, again, all of what it leads back to, everything I just said leads back to, I don't trust that I'm worthy of this. I don't feel that I'm worthy of this. So when you realize I'm worthy of everything, but I also have to create my everything. I don't mean I'm worthy. So damn it, universe, just, all right, come on, throw these blessings on me or throw these. I have to work for it. I have to work to make my life what it is. But part of working to make my life what it is means showing up every day in the mindset of I'm going to be present today. I'm not one of these people that's like, I'm going to be happy today. I think happy is a word that makes me cringe because we're not happy every day. There's a lot of moments in my day. I'm not even thinking about happiness. I'm just being. And it's okay to just be. You don't have to always have the emotion of happiness, but am I content? Am I fulfilled? Because what I have now with this connection is inner peace. I've also created, I've rearranged things in my life so that I am now allowing peace to exist in my life. Whereas I almost did everything to prevent peace from happening before. Yep. Because again, I didn't think I was worthy. I didn't think I was deserving. I didn't know how. I didn't even know how would peace look for me? Like, oh, I can't be peaceful. Well, that was really sad because what I see now is no, am I peaceful every day? No, but the overriding sense for me is one of peace because I cultivate it. That's the difference. I don't expect my peace to come from anything else but me. And are there days that are less peaceful? Yes, but I can't let the day, like the elements of the day, this is where I know when I'm, and healing is, it's it never ends, but the journey is realizing that those things that can go on in the day, the storms, the winds, like the metaphorically speaking, all the shit that can happen in a day. When I can get to a point that, you know what? Okay, that happened. I'm feeling it in that moment. I have to feel the emotion and let it pass. But it doesn't overall have to affect my inner peace. That's when I know I've grown. Even if I have a day like that where I was like, wow, that just happened. That would have set me into like a tailspin before. Yeah. But you know what? I felt it. I didn't like it. Okay. But it's out here. I'm more the observer. I'm going to go back in and now I can go back and I can cultivate my peace.
Yeah. Is there a lesson, message, and gift? Did it really belong to me? Was it something that I needed to experience?
Exactly.
I'm more sensitive. Let me ask you something. Do you believe that because, you know, you spent many years in a place of fear and of being unhappy and feeling unworthy, and you leapt into courage and you did the healing work, and I have a very similar journey. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you, do you believe that the universe rewards courage and that once you're ready to face yourself and you start to do the healing and you start to take inspired action to finding your alignment, that the universe rewards that?
You know, I hear what you're saying and I want to say yes, but that word rewards keeps coming up to me because what I hear from that is the opposite. So when I hear that, this is sometimes how my mind goes, meaning if we're not doing those things, if we're not in alignment, does that mean we are being punished? Does the opposite hold true? And why that is a little bit like, is because I work with people that have had really traumatic life experiences that they didn't choose. They were born unto a family. Situations were thrown on them that they had no control over. So in that respect, it's a lot harder to get into alignment and it's a lot harder to trust. When you can't trust, when your basic needs aren't met, when your family or loved ones, the people that are supposed to protect you, do the opposite. And I will never make an excuse for anyone. I have some friends, I know a lot of people that have had some really yucky situations starting out. And these people lead amazing lives and they've earned everything for themselves. They never asked, you know, to be saved or handled. They had to save themselves in that regard. But it was a hell of a lot harder for them to find their alignment than it was for someone like me that hit the family lottery jackpot, with loving, supportive parents and a sister that had my back. Like, and I was born to opportunity. So I'm not trying to get off topic here, but what I feel is that when you can, when you're able to do the work that allows you to be in alignment, yes, opportunity seems to open up. We could say the universe is rewarding us, but if we're not in alignment and we feel we're being punished, I'm not saying that there's reasons or excuses. I'm just saying for some that never get there, it makes sense why. Now there are some just people, excuse me, that are just like kind of a-holes in general. And it has nothing to do. They had every opportunity and great support in life. And they're just not grateful people, or they just treat other people unkindly for whatever reason. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the people that really want to find that alignment, that really want to find their truth and be empowered. But it's like so many things were stacked up against them that it's so much harder. So I know I'm not answering this question, but I feel like
incarnation.
You know, I don't know if I've ever. Is that the same thing as feeling like maybe we've led other lives?
Mm-hmm. Do you believe, have you ever encountered, you know, someone in the spirit world that says, you know, that they've lived many lives with this person, you know, that they're,
heard that. Yes. With great loves. Yes. And I have had some things come up in meditation from.
So do you believe that we have soul contracts, that as we incarnate in each lifetime, we sort of sit with our spirit entourage and we decide what it is that our soul needs to learn and experience in this lifetime?
That I do. Again, there's always like, I feel like there's always a little caveat, because I feel like, I think of my sister, for example, who's battled cancer 4 times. I know people that have lost loved ones to illnesses and to suicide, to all these things. And it's like, I have a friend who lost a son that we both have children, and no parent should ever go through the loss of a child. I have a few friends actually that have lost children. And what's hard for me with that concept is that's supposed to be their lesson. That's a real shitty lesson. Do you know what I mean? And for someone to be like, oh, well, that's just my soul contract. So, okay. Like I kind of get it. So I lost a child. I can't, that's where I have a hard time wrapping my brain around that. People that have really suffered from grief, or suffered themselves from an illness, or suffered at the hands of another, emotional, physical, mental abuse. Oh, but that's your soul contract. So you're going to grow and learn. And yet I say this for myself, like, oh, I know why I went through the trials and tribulations that I did, but mine are like a letter A, like as of the easiest, or like on a 1 to 10, like 10 being the hardest. What is your, like mine are like a 3. Whereas the people that have 10s, tell them that that's their soul contract. Yeah. So I know from the stuff I've gone through, especially over the past 15 years, I know that I went through that to be exactly where I am now, which is in total alignment, feeling empowered, not every minute, but for the most part. I mean, I know who I am. I show up in the truth of who I am. And I do feel that my work as a medium, that this is my soul contract. So if you're asking me specifically why I feel that, is because it is a choice. Those of us that have these like mediumistic tendencies, if you want to call them that, psychic abilities, it's our choice to use them, which a lot of people fear spirit. If it happens to them when they're younger, if they notice, if they hear or see spirit, they tune it out because it's frightening. It's why I pushed mine away when I was 13, but I embrace it. And I actually heard, this is a choice. I don't have to do this work. It's a choice, but I could not deny the choice that I was given, because if I had the ability to help people with these gifts or abilities that I have, how could I mean, my whole life, I was always like, I just want a job where I can help people. And I'm like, oh, that sounds so cliche, but that's what I meant. So now this lands in my lap. Like, this is who I've always been. I've tuned it out. I've pushed it aside for my own ego, because I thought it was weird and people wouldn't accept me. Now I'm like, well, screw that. I don't care who accepts me. I do have this duty, this soul contract to be able, if I can be a light that shines for other people so that they can see their own light, and then they're going to go shine for, we're all a ripple. Then this is my soul contract. But it's easy for me to say in my shoes. And that's why I guess I leave that as an open-ended question, or I say there's a caveat, because if I am the mom that lost a child, if I am the woman that was molested as a little girl, yeah, those people I know that happened to, they're some strong ass people. I'm telling you, like, they are people that are now doing a lot of good, but there are people that have lived that path that end up on drugs and end up hurting themselves or hurting someone else. And I kind of understand that too. Like, that's pain. That's pain that I could never understand. And thank God I don't have to, but yet I empathize with it, because no one should have to live that way. And then for me to say, but you're going to have a lot of growth from that. I'm sure that you know, being molested was horrible, but that's your soul contract. So do you see where that is really difficult? And then people will say, but it's, I thought you were going to ask me about, but that's your karmic debt. And I'm like, ooh, I hate that too. Cause I was an asshole in 1,000 years ago in that life. In this life, I have to experience X, Y, or Z. I'm like, but all I know is what I'm experiencing in the physical, and I'm being punished for crap in Greece 1,000 years ago. That doesn't seem right. So that's where this is all very
what resonates and leave what doesn't.
Yeah, and I know that you'd have people on the show. I know that there'll be, and I've watched people on Instagram. I've watched people being interviewed that have very definitive answers. I wish I had that kind of conviction. Yes, we all have a soul contract. This is yours. And even though you were abused when you were young, this is what yours is. I just don't feel like I have any kind of right or power to say that, because how do I really know? So all I can answer that is for me. Yes, I feel that my soul contract got me through my ADHD, my binge eating, my marriage that ended, all of that hard stuff I went through got me right where I am now. And there were a lot of years of pain and crying. I wouldn't change any of it, because it got me right where I am now. And now I'm able to connect with, I would never have connected with you, Emma, if I stayed where I was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So I had to push myself out.
Right? Like, we can grow and evolve. And so who knows what you'll uncover in 5 years or in 10 years that might give you a more definitive answer or shed some clarity. We're always evolving as beings.
Exactly.
And so I think those who pretend to have a concrete answer, I think they're kind of full of shit. You know?
Said it here first.
I said it here first. I want to thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Before our recording gets cut off, can you please tell the listeners how they can get a hold of you?
Sure.
And find out more about you and your readings.
Yes. So my business is called Soul Wisdom, but my website, because that was taken, is the Soul Wisdom, thesoulwisdom.com. All of my information is there. My Instagram, my Facebook. I'm not cool enough to be on Twitter and TikTok because I'm not too old for that. Yet, sorry.
I'm trying to get me on TikTok.
My website will have my phone number. My email is thesoulwisdom@gmail.com. But the website will guide them to that, because that's how you set up a session. I want people to know that my phone number is on there. I will text you. I don't talk on the phone to clients, because I pick up too much energy from the voice. And it's almost like then a 30-minute reading could happen on the phone. And I don't like to do any kind of pre-reading. So contact with me is either via text or via email, just so that your listeners know. So it's not to be rude.
The mouth of a true professional. I only have the kindest words for Deb, and all of her information will be in the show notes for those of you who are listening and interested. And go check her out. She's just a great soul. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.